It's getting down really to crunch time. And one of the things that I think is important that we're clear on, you can pull that slide up if it'll open. It's critical because we're going to, I don't know how many signed up. If you hadn't signed up, it shouldn't take you that long to decide if you're going to be at Passover. If you're not, you know, if you're born again, it's a no-brainer. What else you going to do? And we got to take part in this process because if we're not serious about it, then who's going to be serious for you? It's critical. Now, I want to explain a few things, and I'm going to show you in the Word of God how critical it is. We've been talking about patterns, cyclical cycles that he does, everything. Now, this is so important. Let me tell you why it's key for you to understand this. A lot of times in our life, we get going to church. And then we'll take things that same way. We're just used to doing it. But Christ is our Passover. Now, I want to make sure everyone is clear on this. Clear that if he's our Passover, he died at that threshold. His blood's on the doorpost and on the lintel. He makes that completion of blood for us. Do you really, honestly, seriously, do you want to jeopardize breaking some kind of agreement or covenant with the Lord? So you really seriously need to think about this. This is important, valuable. So this is about self-evaluation, looking at ourselves, and quit worrying about everybody else. Don't matter, because what happens, you have a tendency to judge where you at by somebody else. And all you got to do is find one person in this church that you seem to think is not where they need to be with God. And all you got to do is live one step above that, and you'll be fine. But that's not how it works. It just don't work that way. God's looking at each one of us as individuals. And if you can get caught up in talking about what you do. Well, I do this. I'm there every service. And so you look at somebody maybe they're not there, and you think you're doing something. And in fact, you'll add up all that stuff like you're doing, but deep down inside, you overlook the things that are really separating you from God. And that's something that we got to be careful in. Now, the way we have to do it is we have to evaluate our own life. Are you ready for Passover? Or do you believe that this Passover, honestly, with everything that's in you, that you can take part in Passover, you'll eat the... And remember, who's our Passover? Christ is our Passover. Remember, Yeshua HaMashiach, which is basically Jesus, our Messiah. I mean, that's who we're saying is the Passover. We're going to take part in that. Do I really believe, and this is what we talked about this morning, that I made those decisions? Let me tell you, I could come up here and I could just disregard this entire subject. We can break out the communion ware. We can make it all nice. Everybody come up, no matter what you do in your life, no matter how you live, everybody come forward. We'll pass the bread around, give you the cup. We take communion. You went home and you feel so good about yourself because you just did something holy. But what's going on the inside? What's really happening? And let me tell you something. If we don't start thinking in these terms, that this is serious business, because God gave his only son. Now, I can tell you, if you're in here and it cost you that much to help somebody, how many's ever helped somebody a lot? I mean, you've been over back, you tried everything you can to try to help them and extend yourself. I mean, you put yourself in sometimes in debt. You did everything you could to try to help them. And at the end of the day, it's like they don't even have respect. You go, I don't get it. Well, you ever wonder how God feels? You ever wondered about that? If we just, how many know if we do that, he said we trample underfoot the blood of Christ. So we just go to the threshold. If we do it not prepared, and we just step on it. Is that the message we want to send to God? Somebody said, well, I would never do that yet. Are we doing that? Let me tell you what's one of the biggest issues. We don't have the same message. We might have a mixed bag of messages in here. And yet we should have the same message. Our message should be the same. But it should be what the Word says. It doesn't matter if you say it, I'm saying it, or anybody else in this church. You can say what the Word says. I'm not the only one that can say what the Word says. But we all got to be saying what the Word says. If we are, we got the same message. It's the same exact message. It's no different. So if you see something that you go, wow, well, that's not what God says. That's not what he says. That's not what he says. That's not what he says. And we say nothing, then where are we? So you think about that. So before we could do that, we first have to know where we are, right? Am I ready? Am I really ready to receive the Passover? Or will I do something that would be contrary to the agreement that God has made and given to me? I would hope not. I would hope we'd be ready and we'd be doing it the right way for the right reason, because we can. It's not that we can't. We can do it, but we have to really consider it. Now, here's the thing that I think is important to us. As individuals, each one of you that's here, you look at your life. And let me tell you, you have to deal with intent. You might feel good right now, but there's an intent. Do you really see yourself in the next day, weeks, months, really not committed to God because of what you've chose to be the path that you're going to take in your life? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about what you're really willing to allow yourself to be involved in? Because really, those things, they kind of float up, and then we push them aside, and we'll sing a song or two, and we think, you know, I've covered that up. But the reality is, it's still there. What's your intent? What you intend to do? And they don't, you know, somebody said, well, you know, I was just going along and it kind of just shocked me and came and got me. And no, it didn't. It didn't just come and all of a sudden it got you. There's intent that happens. And do you intend to trample underfoot the blood of Christ? Do you intend to do that? Somebody said, well, I would never want to do that. I don't want to do that. Not me. Yet, how many times has this happened when those situations come? And the very thing we thought of, we actually involved in. And so what we have to do is check this with the Word of God. And so part of preparing is something of great value. Now, this morning I was talking about the Passover and what he talked about. And then I can show you tonight, and I've showed you this before, but I think it bears being repeated, because it's amazing to me. It really is amazing to me. That our passion to grab hold to the things of God, when we compare it to our passion for doing other things, it's not the same. And we have to really be passionate about God. It has to be something that we think about every day. And it doesn't mean you can't be busy and be involved in other things, but you can see a reality. If I ask the question, how many in here love the Lord? Well, sure. People's going to raise their hand because you do. You love the Lord. But he didn't just ask if you love him. He said, are you willing to do something? Remember that? He said, Peter, do you love me? Well, you know I love you. Then he asked him again. It's like rhetorical. Well, come on. Are you kidding me? You know I love you. Then he asked him again. Seriously? I mean, I'm telling you. But every time he told him, well, this is what you should be doing. If you love me, shouldn't you be active in participating in showing that love and that compassion? Shouldn't you be a prime example? Shouldn't you be a prime example? How many know some? Listen, let me do this and And I'll kind of take one giant step forward, and then I'll back up and deal with us individually. But how many know somebody that you know, you personally know them, whether they related to you, or, but you know, and you feel like, you know what, I have some responsibility here to help this person. I really do. But you know that they have a profession to be a Christian, yet they do things in their lives that there's no way they should be taking Passover. Anybody here? Know anybody like that? You kind of got to look past you for right now. I know some. Well, I don't want to talk about nobody because I'm struggling myself. Well, I'm just asking a question. I'm not asking, do you know somebody like that? Let me ask you this question. Would you be willing to help them? If you know that, would you really be willing to speak so they could take Passover? Would you be willing to tell them, hey, you gotta quit doing that? You know why we don't do that? Because we're doing something. And we'd feel bad. That's what makes it hard, because we know. But that what we have to do is we have to make sure that we take the proper time. That's what he gives us time for. He gives us time to prepare the Passover. He gives us time to do those things. Let me ask you something. Was there anybody in the room at the Last Supper? Was there anybody in that room who was completely just lost their heart for Jesus? Was there anybody there? Can somebody help me? Huh? Who was there? Judas was there. He had all that time. Listen, the whole time he followed Jesus, he had all that time. All that time to fix it. He was there. He was right there. And you know what? He got up. And what did he tell him? He said, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. And then what did he do? He went, there was different ones. He was letting them know, not me. Oh, no. And John the Beloved, he just, what did he do? He just laid his head there and said, and let me tell you, this guy, there was something happened on that day because he went through some stuff. But he was being preserved. He was being kept for the Isle of Patmos. And I'm telling you, what we got to do in situations like this, when you don't know what's going on and your heart's running wild, when stuff's going crazy, sometimes you just got to lay your head on his chest. You got to just lay there and say, all I'm doing, I'm humbling myself. I need you more than I ever needed you before. I know that. Because let me tell you, sometimes our mind and the way we think, we let ourselves get by and we're quick to see what's happening to somebody else. That's not how you prepare for Passover. Preparing for Passover is, let's look at us. Take a good look. You know what? I don't want to say that. It's just not right. I don't want to do that. That's just not right. Why would I act this way? Why would I do this in church and do something somewhere else? Why did I do that? It's just not right. God's got a higher calling for me, and I don't want to jeopardize that. I want to continue to gain information and insight in the wisdom and the Word of God. I don't want to, all of a sudden, this thing dries up, and I'm going, man, I can't get no information no more. God wants to do that for us. But let me tell you what happens. We don't realize that everything that God has given us, every opportunity he's given us is for us to make sure we do the right thing. Because our future depends on it. Our entire future depends on it. Now, Judas didn't do the right thing. Did he prepare for Passover? No. What happened at the end of the day? What's going on in this man's life? He's hanging. You understand that? He's a dead man with no hope. Was there other guys there that were struggling? Absolutely. Peter was one of them. He was struggling. He had some deep-seated things going on. And the grace of God kicked in, and that's what it wants to do for us. Now, he took Passover. Peter received Passover. Remember, he took the cup. Jesus took the cup. He took the cup after supper. And he passed it around. He said, you drink it. I'm going to drink it again in the kingdom. But right now, you drink it. And they begin to drink. And so he received Passover. And it wasn't going to be, but hours later, he would deny him. Think about that. And so Peter had to come to himself. He had to realize, I can't keep doing this. I can't, you know, when it happens, what I do, I just run. And so here's Jesus. He's dead on the cross. No doubt he watched them from afar to take him down. And you ever wonder what he's thinking? This is crazy. I want to be able to tell him, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Why did I do it? It's crazy. And Jesus rose. Peter goes over there and he sees, man, it's real. He said he was going to do this. And then he goes fishing and he gets his opportunity. John 20. There he is on the seashore. Hey, guys, y'all catching anything? No. He said, well, let down the net on the right side and you find. And then that just filled up. And I could see Peter just looking at it. I can't believe I act the way I act. Do the things I do. Say the things I say. And look at this. This is what he's picked me for. Look at all of this. What does it mean? It didn't represent the fact that he was just blessing him. See, we get that message. That represented people. This is people. This is souls. I want you to understand. What I plan and purpose for you is bigger than what you're going through right now. It's bigger than that. And that's what it takes, preparation. You prepare and you start looking at all this and you go, wow. And then remember he has this conversation with him and that's when he has the conversation. Do you love me? He gets his chance again. I want to ask you, you know how you prepare for Passover? You got to ask yourself sometimes over and over, do I really love him? If you can remember a time in your life that when you thought of it, you had a weeping moment because you couldn't get over it. You couldn't get over the fact he is absolutely incredible. And let me tell you, as much as we enjoy things in life. We do. We built that away. We by design to enjoy what's been created. He didn't create it for himself. You think God created it for himself? He didn't have to create a planet for himself. He wasn't, you know, in need of something, so I'm going to create a planet. He wasn't in need of something, so I'm going to listen, he creates because he's a creator. That's what he does. But then he gives us a choice. You can love me. I mean, I made you. You're the only reason you're here because of me, but you don't have to love me. You don't have to respect me. You can step on the threshold if you want. I'm telling you don't have to. I would love that you wouldn't. I really want to spend time with you. I really care about you. I care about you and everything that you have in your future. I care about you. But do you really care about me? So we can be coached along. And we can say we love God, but at the end of the day, do we really love him? You know what's going to tell? What are we doing? What am I actually doing? What's my activity? What am I doing to prepare for Passover? Am I reading any scripture? Am I praying, asking God to help me? I don't want to act that way. I don't want to say those things. Am I really doing that? That's important. Very important. And let me tell you, I have on this presentation, I have about 100 and something slides, and it goes through the scripture we was going through this morning, and then it breaks it down into how Christ is exactly what took place. You know, he went in on the 10th day of the first month. And They took the lamb on the 10th of the first month, and they kept it how many days? 4 days. And how it just matches. Everything matches. You know why? Because God works in what? Patterns. And everything worked exactly. And you sit down and you read it over and over and you look at it and you go, do we really get it? Do we really get that God does all of this so he can keep us? He wants us. He loves us. But do we love him? Do we love him? The question is, do you love me? See, we all want to be loved. We do. We do. We have this amazing appetite to be loved, to be accepted, to be appreciated, for somebody to care about what we care about, somebody to like what we like, somebody to believe in us. We all have that. So amazing appetite for that. And that's what we want. Can I tell you? He loves you. Yahweh loves us. He cares about us. He cares about what we care about. He does all those things. You know what he said? I'll never leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'll be with you till the end. Till the end. I want to ask this question. Will you be with him till the end? Will you really say, you know what? I'm going to be with you till the end. Come what may, I'm going to be with you till the end. Lord, you know I love you. Feed the lamb. Feed the lamb. How does sheep, then he asks him again, do you love me? He says, feed my sheep. What does he show us in the word that you know that you actively do in that? What is it that we need to consume in order to grow as the sheep of his pasture? Where does he lead us? David said he leads us in what type of pastures? Green pastures. Beside still waters. He restores our soul. How many of you know that our soul needs restoration? And that's what he does. And so should we not be reciprocating that same thing to those that are around us? Do you believe in your life right now in your life as it sits, that you have a responsibility to any other human beings on this planet? Do you believe that? If you're married, I can answer that for you. You have a responsibility. If you have children, I can answer that for you. Do you understand that? If you've never been married, I can answer that for you. I can answer, because every person that is alive today, you have a responsibility to somebody, somewhere. You have a responsibility. And it can go past our immediate. Like the husband to the wife to the husband, the children, and siblings. It can go past that. It can go exceed way past that. But people who think, you know what, I really don't have any responsibility. I really need to take care of me. Well, you're true about saying you have to take care of you. But you don't take care of you for you. We should be taking care of ourselves to make sure we become the light and the salt that others can see his good works and then glorify the Father which is in heaven. That something's going on in my life. It's different. I can't even begin to express how different it is, how good God's been to me. And we start preparing ourselves for Passover. I want you to think about this because there's some changes that have to take place. We have been way too soft in our standing up for what Jesus actually paid for with his life. We have. We've been way too soft because we're not willing to be upset when we see somebody that we know, that we care about, who is doing something contrary to what you know God has already paid for in their life, and we don't want to say anything. And the reason we are handicapped to say something is because a lot of times we are going through something ourselves, and we say this. I really, maybe not aloud. We might not say it loud, but we think it, and it's inside of us. I really can't say nothing because I'm going through something. The question is this. Does that relieve me of my responsibility to be the light and salt? You know how you fix that? We get it right. We say, you know what? I can't be. And then you still, even after you do and you do all that, you're still responsible to make sure that we're speaking into the lives of people and encouraging them. And so I just want you to see how serious this is. I want you to see how serious it is when we prepare for Passover and we make sure that we're where we need to be in God. Now, it was very serious because one of the things he said, unless there's circumcision, they cannot participate in the Passover. They had to be circumcision. They couldn't. Now, they could go, but they couldn't take part in the meal. They could be present. They could be in the camp, but they couldn't take part in the meal. And I asked myself, why? That's very serious here. They could be there, but can't take part. Why? Because there was no circumcision, which was commanded. Now, I'm talking about physical circumcision. Now, Paul comes along and says, circumcision and uncircumcision, what does it avail? What is there unless we realize that we have to have that in the heart? Right? So the circumcision of the heart is critical. It is absolutely critical. And if there is no circumcision of the heart, should we take Passover? Should we? Now, you got to decide that. Should we take Passover? Because let me tell you, this thing works in two levels that we have to make sure that we see. If there's a circumcision of the heart, then Passover is allowed. Because we've come to some realization that we're willing to cut away our fleshly desire and submit to the things of God, we're ready for Passover. Now, not only are we ready for Passover, but we're ready to help someone else who's struggling with getting rid of that. How are we led away? How's people led away? Because they get tricked? Is it a trick? The scripture says by our own lust. See, we're led by our own lust. And so something had to happen. Something had to camp out. And it camps out so much. I can tell you in my experience, I know for a fact that I haven't been duped or tricked in any time that I struggle with anything. And it was nobody's fault but mine. I know that to be a fact. I'm not looking for anybody to pin it on. I know that to be an absolute fact. Now, if I could admit that, and what am I doing? I'm allowing the circumcision. I'm saying, you're wrong. You're wrong. And that's what Peter did. He said, he was talking to himself, you're wrong. It was absolutely wrong what you did. He had to come to himself and realize, I can't do this. I can't behave this way. And that's what he did. And then something happened. Because he was willing to do that, he took part in Passover, and he was there in the upper room. And then the Spirit came. And let me tell you something. You cannot have this experience with the power of the Holy Spirit, what we've been talking about in one of our Bible studies, if there's no circumcision that takes place, if there's no self-admittance that we say, you know what, who is this really about? Who is it really about? Is it about him? Because do I want to get in the habit of just doing something because everybody else is doing it? So if we, if we took the cup, after we're doing it, we're holding the cup, am I willing to take that chance? I'm going to ask this question. I want you to raise your hand. You don't have to know who it is. Nobody doesn't know. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Did you ever see anybody in this church take communion and you know good and well they shouldn't have? Raise your hand. Be honest. Then what is wrong with us? Are we crazy? Think about that. Now, because you knew that, does that mean you judge that person? Does that mean that of all you are just judging people? Think about that. Then there was something that was, you knew it. You knew it, and you go, oh boy. Right? That's not good. Let me ask you, shouldn't we take a different posture? Shouldn't we be more serious about this? Let me ask you, when I read this morning, was God serious when he said, if you don't put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, your firstborn is going to die? It's just the bottom line. As a matter of fact. Shouldn't we be more of a matter of fact when it comes to standing up for what we truly believe in? You know what it is in America? You know what's going on in our society? Nobody wants to stand up for anything. How many want to stand up for Jesus? I'm so tired of Jesus having to take some back seat to some, because everybody's idea is, we don't have to be that serious. What is a serious deal? It's very serious. And I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed that we don't stand up for Christ. Stand up for what he did, how faithful he was, and the things that he believed in, and what he accomplished. We ought to stand up for that and not be ashamed of it. Should we be ashamed of what he did for us? He paid with his life. His own life. He gave his own life for it. And we ought to stand up for him. We ought to say, you know what? You can think whatever you want, say whatever you want, but I'm standing up for Jesus, and I'm going to make sure if I take communion, I'm not going to trample his blood under my feet. So it takes a lot. We got to raise up a little bit, get our feet a little high, and get over the threshold and say, you know what? We're going to do it right. And you can't do it because somebody else said you need to do it. And you don't do it because you've seen somebody else do it. You're doing it because you know it's the right thing. Right is right. I mean, understand that. Right is right. And what we do is we're willing to just say, well, maybe it's not so bad. I'm telling you, we're right there. We're on the verge of watching God do some amazing things in the lives of people if we'll just stick to it. Make sure. And you, listen, don't wait for somebody else. You need to say, you know what? You're not ready for Passover. You got to be ready, though, because it's going to come. Why are you telling me that? Are you going to be ready to be able to explain that? Or are you going to be willing to say, you know what? You might be mad at me, but I'm telling you because I love you. I'm not telling you because I'm mad at you. I love you. But you're not ready. Look at this. Look what's happening. Have you really come to repent? Have you really dedicated your life to the Lord where there's such an excitement in your life? Listen, by the time the first song starts, you can't wait to give God the glory. I'm trying to want what is holding us back. What else can I teach here at this church? What else? So you think, what else can I teach here? What's holding us back to be on fire for God? I'm talking about saying, you know what? I don't matter what happens. I'm going to stick with God in this. And I'm going to love the Lord. I'm going to love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, and with all my strength. Are we willing to do that? With everything that's in us, I'm going to do that. And it's all it takes is one person, another person, another person. And you bring that heart attitude before the presence of God. It's just something about it. The power of God. The release of God's anointing in our life. And so we come to moments. We call these moments. We come to a moment. We almost tap into it. And then what is it? Listen, the church does, we shouldn't have a cheerleading section. Well, we got to be cheered along. If it's right, you're going to shout about it no matter if anybody's shouting. If you listen, you don't take somebody to push you and prime you up. You're going to do it because you know it deep down inside. And my question tonight is, do you really believe that what Jesus did for us, should it be honored? Should it be top on our list? We're going to receive Passover. Should it be? And I believe this is the most serious matter for us. We're going to receive it. It should be something high on our list. Should be something that we can't wait to memorialize. That's what he said. This is a memorial. So what we're about to take part in, you got to let your life go back to that time. Well, he's standing there, and there he is. He's suspended off this planet on a cross. And you're looking at him, and you go, it's unbelievable. How could they do something like this to a human, to disfigure him and beat him so badly? And there he is. And you know what he did for us? They took the sponge and they dipped it in a sour wine and brought it to his face when he said, I'm thirsty. You think about that. Before he ever got on the cross, you know what he said? Because remember, it's about the cup. It's about the cup. Are you willing to drink the cup? He said, Father, if it's possible, let this what? Let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will. If it's your will for me to drink, because what he was about to contract, he knew that if he crosses that threshold, he's a dead man. Are you willing to go that far? How long would you stare at the cup? Think about it. You wonder why he prayed three times? I'd have prayed more than three times. Are you sure, God? Are you sure? I'm about to die. Let this cup, but nevertheless, if your desire is for me to drink this cup, once he drank that cup, he steps over. They put the sour wine to his face, and after that, he gave up the ghost. It all matches. We could go on and on and on, and I hope that you've seen this. I pray that you see this. And when I'm up here, I'm telling you, this is serious business. It all matches. Every bit of it. You could go down the list. Everything matches. I always wondered, what does he mean by this cup pass from me? But the cup's handed across the threshold. And you got to decide if you're willing to drink. Once you drink, you're saying, I'm all in. And it represents his blood. And let me tell you, I don't come up with this stuff. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. They was offended. Brother, they were offended when he said that. They got mad at him. Are you kidding us? Who do you think you are? I'm just telling you, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. I want you to think about this. The cup is going to be handed to us. That's what Passover is about. And we're memorializing that. The cup's going to be handed. You drink that cup unworthily, you're in trouble. When I take that cup, I'm saying, I'm going to follow your rules. No matter how much I'm, you know, sometimes we can be stubborn about a lot of things. We can. But we got to say, I'm going to follow your rules, your regulations. And if I don't, whatever consequence comes with me breaking that, I'm going to bear that out. And I want to tell you, I believe, I know in my life, you got to admit this for yourself. I bear the consequence of my trampling underfoot the blood of Christ. And do I want to keep doing that? Or do I want to honestly say, when I take Passover this time, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that I'm submitted to the Word of God and that I will continue to follow Him and do what He asked me to do. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. We need husbands and wives and children and family units and people realizing this. This is important. What are you going to do about your future? Sometimes we get, listen, let me tell you, young people, don't get sidetracked. Satan desires to sift you like wheat. Just pick at it a little bit, right through the picket fence. He just tugs on you a little bit. Your life is at stake. You haven't come this far just to blow it all. You're that close to blowing it. And once it's blown, it's only the grace of God that you can have a comeback. You say, well, others come back. You can't go off of what others did. There was a bunch didn't come back. Nobody talks about them, though. We look at somebody and say, well, they went through it. And that's what parents do. They parent that away. Oh, well, we did that. You know, when we were kids, we did that. And we made it. That's not good parenting. That's not good at all. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been out there. Is that what you want? You want to throw the dice for your kids? It was God's grace that brought us back. That's what brought us back. He said, well, he won't have grace for me. We're living in a different time, in an era. We're getting closer to the end, and Satan's on all-out attack against everybody, against the husband, against the wife, against the children, against everybody. He's an all-out attack against everybody. But we listen, this is why we have these times. Why you think he said do it every year? And we're about to hit our feast time. We're going to go from one to the other to the other. Why you think that? Because it creates a solemn assembly. It creates a time where we come together and we humble ourselves. And we go through every one of these. And what happens? It gets us built up in the Lord. But this thing is launching. And I want to be strong in Him. I don't want to try to go. That's why he says, get ready. You got to take the posture that this imminent, how many know this is a fact? I guarantee you. I promise you this. If you knew that Jesus would come back this week, I bet your posture would be different tomorrow. If you knew for a fact, there would be things that you had on your calendar you would say, I can care less about that. He'll be here in a week. You don't think you'd be acting different? Do you know what Passover's for? It's to get us in a posture that he's in an imminent return. That's what it's supposed to do. We're supposed to think on those terms. If you thought on those terms, you would act different, be different. Your whole concept of checking your life would completely change if you knew for a fact this week coming, he's going to return. You would do different things. You would. But we don't know that. He said, no one knows. But if you know that he's going to come as a thief in the night, he said, wouldn't the owner of the house stay up and watch? That's all I'm asking. I'm asking that we need to wake up and watch more. If you know he's coming, and we know that he is coming, shouldn't we watch? Or are we just comfortable with letting him break in? Let me tell you, listen to me careful. There's been a lot of break-ins. Satan's knocking doors down. He's kicking windows in. He's doing everything he can to distract and destroy people. There's been a lot of break-ins, and nobody's aware. And it's just like, I don't know what happened. And the reason we don't know, because our posture's wrong. We're not ready for an imminent moving on out. If we take that posture, things are going to change in our life. It's going to be absolutely amazing. And my prayer is that you take this exhortation. You know, I got 106 slides or so. Probably not going to show you any of them. Because I got up, I'll come out, me and Brother Scott was sitting there talking. I come out of my office, and I was walking down this aisle, and God said, start now. And this, what am I going to say? You're going to say what I tell you to say. And so if you think that I practiced this or I went over this, I got 106 slides. I'm going to, you know, I study, I do this stuff. My dad, he was sitting there. Listen, for me to do it takes me hours of studying just to get ready for a wedding. Hours it takes. He sat there, he watched me, he's wondering, what are you doing? Because you got to think, you can't just go and do this. You got to say, God, can I say that? Can I really say that? No. Well, it's up to me to find it. If I can't find it in the Word, then what am I saying it for? Right? So listen, it takes hours to look at this stuff. But just because it takes hours doesn't mean it's the time. It can't override the Spirit. What I'm telling you tonight is by the power of Holy Spirit. And I'm asking you, let's take a posture this Passover as if it's imminent return. It's going to happen. Now, if you get a warning from the news that there's going to be a nuclear strike that hits America and it's imminent, how many of you know that that's not, it might happen? If they use the word imminent, what does that mean? What does that mean? Somebody help me. You better bunk. They're telling you, dig a hole. Do whatever you got to do. Brace yourself, because there ain't a thing we can do to stop it. It's imminent. Can I tell you, our posture as believers during time of Passover, he says, put your shoes on your feet. Are you getting this? Gird your loins, put your staff in your hand, because your getting out of here is imminent. There's no kidding here. It's imminent. Because in the morning, we're gone. And they done been told no, 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 no. Which Pharaoh was telling them? No, 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 no. And God says, we're going. They all, you know how many times they probably got pre-ready and yeah, I don't know. And he said no again. He said no again. He said this time, it's different. He could have took them out on the first play. How many know God could take you out on the first play? He God, right? He could have. But the first plague didn't cover the pattern. He ain't going to scare nobody there. He ain't going to put more burden on you, so the burden is what pushes you to God. You know, a lot of people come to God because they just, I can't do this no more. That's it. But the moment it gets good, they're good. Yeah. I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. And then it gets burdened again, they're back. And he could have caught them out any other time with all this struggle, even darkness. I'm so scared. I'm going to church. I can't even sleep at night. That's not it. But when the lamb gets killed at the threshold, he tells them, I'm going to tell you now, put your shoes on your feet, gird up your loins, get your staff in your hand. We getting out of it. It's imminent. Because when that lamb is slain, that's the price paid. Can I tell you? I'm going to say it again. Christ is our Passover. The lamb's been slain. So it ain't, listen, it ain't, well, he'll be here someday. Is imminent, and that should be the way we act. And we should constantly do that. Do you know that if we do something long enough and we realize how true it is and we base it on truth, do you know you can believe a lie and be so committed to the lie that you absolutely think it's true? We've done that for years. What if it's true and it's really true and you keep doing it? What you think your posture would be as you prepare for Passover? This ought to be the most exciting time for you and I. I mean, we're just tapping. Hey, boy, Jack said something. Jacob said something funny earlier to me, and it made me think. And I done talked to several people this evening, right? So I hear it, and then, you know, if the Lord wants to use that, he'll bring it back to my remembrance. Man, I don't remember everything everybody tells me, but I will remember if the Lord. But Jacob said, man, I come out my vehicle and that breeze is blowing. It had me singing, what was it? Pagan music. I said, pagan music? What? He said, yeah. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. You know? But just think about it. But the whole point, the reason I'm bringing it up, because it was funny. He started telling me, we chuckled about it, and I moved on, right? I got him getting ready for service or whatever. But then the Lord just reminds me, say, you know, just like what Jacob said, it's what happens. You can get in the spirit of something that's not even true. Because you do it so much. Yet, it's so hard to get in the spirit of something that's true because we don't do it enough. We got to push ourselves and kind of come on. Okay, it's when Passover becomes what every other thing was to us, we done tapped into something. And it gets on you. It's just something about it. And you just, oh, I just love this time of the year. You know how many times we said that about other things? Do you love this time of the year? You see, we haven't even fallen in love with it yet. That's why he said, Peter, do you love me? Do you really love me? I'm saying, look, do you love me? He said, you got to get this thing. You got to realize what I've done for you. You got to ponder this thing. This thing got to be rehearsed all, and you got to start thinking about it. I'm glad we started talking about this. As soon as we got finished with Purim, I went straight into it. I said, you know what? This thing got to get on us. It's got to be a part of us. It's got to be important to you. Because, listen, if it's not important to the believer, one been here all these years, do you think it's just going to pop up being important to the non-believer? Not a chance. But we get so sidetracked and so involved in so many other things all the time, we don't see the seriousness of Passover and what it really means. If you notice, we hadn't had communion in a while. There's a reason for that. I started studying this stuff, and I was like, wow, I'm passing this stuff up like it's just no big deal. I look in the line. I go, where they been? They get a cup and a bread, and they just go right to their seat, and everybody's good. It's not going to happen no more. You understand? I'm not doing it. I can take communion. But I ain't giving it out to people who got some half-hearted idea that you can just do anything they want with God, because this is serious to me. This is serious business. And I'm not doing that to the Lord. I'm standing. Hey, listen, anybody ever seen somebody who just gets bullied around? Yeah, anybody ever seen? Sometimes they show these little things because that bullying was a big thing. And don't it aggravate you? It just aggravates you to no end that some guy is going to go and pick on some little kid. He can't even defend himself. And you go, what in the world? He needs to be slapped. Somebody needs to knock him out. You know, because look at what he's doing. He just beat the tar out of this little bitty kid bullying. Do you realize that's exactly what Satan's been doing to a lot of people? He's been bullying, bullying, bullying. And that's, you know, we're off of that. But do you realize that Jesus has been frowned upon, looked down upon, and he has not been given the credit he deserves? And the world is nothing but a big bully when it comes to Jesus. Anybody here want to stand up for him? Anybody want to say, you know what, I'm on his side. Go on. Wouldn't you want to do that for Jesus? I hope we would. We don't defend him. We don't defend our right to participate in Passover. My God, we hadn't done it for, you understand what I'm saying? We don't defend that. Should we not? Should we not say, you know what? This is what I'm doing. This is what I know the Word of God says. I'm not going to apologize to nobody. You don't have to like me. This is what we're going to do. You can call me whatever you want. I done a wedding last night. I was called Jewish anyway, but last night, about three people. Folks' eyes were that big around, said, what is this? It doesn't matter. We want to sit down and talk word. I'll talk the word of God with you. Here it is. It's what it says. But we don't defend Jesus at all. People can say what they want, do what they want, and we don't take, I don't want to say nothing. But everything else has got somebody standing up for them. You know, Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, this one matters. Oh, you get so tired of hearing all that. Can I tell you? Jesus matters. Jesus matters. Do you want to know what side I'm on? I'm on his side. Jesus' life matters. Anybody want? Nobody says that. Who's defending him? Who's standing up? His life matters. And he says, be careful you don't step on the threshold, because his life, to God, his life matters. And if we do that, God's saying, serious? And there's a consequence to pay. And so I'm asking you, seriously think about it. It doesn't mean, you know, here's what people do. Well, yeah, now that you put it that way, I probably won't take communion. I probably won't do Passover. And that's what we do. We don't fix it. We excuse ourselves. Well, you think that fixes it? No, you know what you do? You say, you know, I'm sorry. You know, not come to think about it. Lord, I owe you an apology. I'm sorry. I shouldn't act that way. I shouldn't think that way. I shouldn't say that. I want to be ready. Imminent. Imminent. That's how we should have a posture. It's imminent. And if we knew for a fact he was coming, do you think you'd make the same decisions that you make if you knew for a fact? Do you think you'd say the things that you would say, act the way you would, if it was imminent? That's something that we need to take into consideration. So I want to say, let's just be honest and straight with each other. If there was ever a time in your life, I want everybody to listen. Nobody doing anything else. Everybody listen. Don't talk to nobody. Listen to me careful. If there was ever a time in your life that you said, I'm going to get ready for Passover, this is the time to do it. This is the time. I've been in settings where there was decisions had to be made. We had to make decisions. We couldn't be distracted by anything. We live in a society of distractions, and it's by the enemy's plan to distract people. It's the truth. We get distracted so easy by stuff. We're so distracted. We're not serious. What are you going to do about your future? The decisions you make today, tomorrow, leading up to our time for Passover, could mean all the difference in the world to you. And I'm asking you, seriously, take a good look at your life and say, you know what? I'm going to change this. I'm going to change it. And that's all God's looking for. It's called circumcision of the heart. You got to examine your heart. You got to realize, a lot of people say, well, in my heart, I feel good. Didn't I tell you about your heart? It's deceitful above all else. Don't trust your heart. It's deceitful. You gotta speak in your life and say, you know what? You might feel good about this and that, but it ain't about how you feel about it. Am I really actively 100% fired up and want to just give God glory and honor because of what his son paid for? Paid in full. In full. So, you know, I've been in situations where I've literally been there and I watched them sacrifice the lamb. You know, I'd never seen anything like that. And the first time I saw it, to be honest with you, I was like, it like the floor. I was like, this is unbelievable. I mean, I was just there. It was right in front of me. Blood was going everywhere. I'm like, wow, that animal was alive just seconds ago. And I watched them. It was in other countries, and they sacrificed it. They were going to feed us. And I'm standing there, and I'm looking at this, just something I had never seen before. And I've been hunting, and I've done that, but it's different. It's so different. And I'm standing, I'm going, wow, this is amazing. And then you got to think, there was a person named Jesus who they did the same thing to. Blood was everywhere. Everywhere. And he died for me. Now, the animal's killed and slain, and it's to bring, you know, something dies to bring life to something else. People eat it, and they stay. And these people, you know where we were? I mean, that's their life. They don't have a grocery store. They're not going over to Walmart and load the basket up. They don't have that. I mean, they just went. That was their Walmart. They went out in the pasture and brought the lamb in, and we ate that. That's what we ate. There wasn't nothing else. So something died to bring keep them alive. Do you realize that Yeshua HaMashiach died so we can live? That's incredible. How many want to help me honor him? This Passover, how many want to help me honor him? Well, you know, when you sit at the table, you checked your life. And you said, you know what? And here's the thing. Don't say, I'll check my life and I ain't ready. You're right. Get ready. You got a mouth? Repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. I'm not acting that way. I'm not going to say that, think that. I'm not doing it. And I apologize for it. That's how you do it. But don't take some back seat. Are you serious? You know what you do when you take the back seat? Well, I didn't take Passover. It's the same thing. You walked away from the threshold. The cup was handed to you and you said, I'm not drinking it. I want to ask you, did your Savior drink it? Let this cup pass, but if not, I'm drinking it. If it's your will, I'm asking you, I don't, because he's saying, I don't want to drink the cup. But if you want me to drink the cup, I'm going to drink the cup. Because he knew when he drank, that was it. His life was on the line. And he gave himself as a ransom for us all. I want to say it again, as I read this morning. He is our, Christ is our Passover lamb. So I want you to be clear on that. When we take part in this, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And you know what some people do? They've given it, given it out by the gallons, handing it out. And they'll be doing that. You know, people celebrating Palm Sunday, and they're going to be dishing it out. And it won't be long. Those palms will be ashes. And they're just dishing it out by the gallons. And people live however they want, not said a thing. And it's our Savior that is happening to. But we are no different. We're no different because we have some different name tag or whatever we think we know about the Word of God. Oh, we got it. We're getting it. We're no different if we don't do a self-examination and make sure, and that's all he asked for us to do. Examine yourself, he said. Examine yourself to make sure that when you take part, and I'm asking you to do that. When we do that, we're going to see some amazing stuff happen individually. And then you pursue God with everything that's in you. You do it. And the next guy's responsible to pursue God, and the next person, they're all responsible to pursue God. And here's the thing that you can't get by. If you know something and you don't say anything, then you have accepted. You've accepted that. And you're saying, it's not my business. If they're at your church, sitting in the area you sitting in your seats, and you say nothing, you have accepted it. We don't want that responsibility. You want me to do it? You want me to do it so I could deal with it? So I can say that I come and say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. You're going down the wrong road. But what am I doing? Then you got to deal with it. Because once you bring it up, it's over. You got to deal with it. And people's going to be offended. They're going to get mad or whatever it is. And you got to go and talk to them. And you got to speak into their life. What if we all did that? What if we all did it? What if we all say, you can't do that? Every parent is responsible for their children. Don't make no difference how old they are. We're still responsible. You say, well, they're their own grown up. That's fine. They might be grown up, and you can't force them to do anything because they're grown. When they're young, you can force them. I've been forced before. I know what being forced before is. They're young. You eat my groceries sleeping in our bed, you better be sure you're going to be forced. You don't like it. They don't have to like it. When they're older, you can't force them. But you got to tell them. You're never off the hook for that responsibility. You got to say, that what you're doing is wrong. It's wrong. And if you don't fix it, you better not take the Passover. I'm telling you. You see? Now, if they come to you, say, well, I'm going to go tell pastors. This is good. They'll come tell me. And I'll say, okay, well, what were they talking about? Well, they don't like that I'm doing this. Well, they're right. I don't like it either. That's the process that should work. Because if I go, They'll be offended, and you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They will be, and you'll be, because you'll be mad at me because I touched your anointed. You see? And that's not how it works. We have a responsibility, and we should be able to do that. Jesus did it. He told each one that was issued, he told them right there. Because that was his immediate apostle that would be sent out to the rest of the world, and he took care of it right there. And that's important. I'm asking you to take time to do that. Tonight, you got tomorrow, and then we got Tuesday, and then we're going to come and receive Passover. I want everybody to come. I do. All you got to do is make sure you do the right thing before God. I mean, think that's fair. Because I'm going to stand up for Jesus. You got to do it because of me. I'm standing up for Jesus. We ought to have more people stand up for him and say it shouldn't be done to him. He's done been stepped on, so abused. Let me tell you, everything else, you ever notice in the world that we live in, everything else has got their group, but you don't mention Jesus. You mention, oh, there they go, mentioning Jesus again. And it's like, it's not, don't count. It really don't count. But we don't mind talking about Christians. You know, it got Christian groups here and Christian groups there. And it's just a name. It's all it is a name. But when it comes to talking about Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, oh, boy, here they go. And that's just amazing. That just happened. Let's not let it happen. Let's take a stand. Let's honor the meal. Let's honor it with everything that's in us and be proud to honor it. Tell him, I love you, Lord, and stick to it and watch what happens. You watch and see. You know what God did? The apostles who stuck to it, and they honored him from then on. They didn't quit. Jesus ascended. You think they quit? They didn't quit. They honored him. And they come under one of the most vicious assaults that could be putting on people. A lot of them were losing their lives. You know what he did? The more they assaulted them, the more the kingdom grew. They got to the point the Romans said, you know what? We're killing them by the thousands. We can't keep up. We kill 1,000, 10,000 comes to Christ. We kill 2,000, 20,000 comes to Christ. We can't keep up. They got so frustrated, they got tired of killing people. Because the more they assaulted, because people was honoring Christ and they was receiving Passover correctly, the kingdom grew. I want to tell you, in the midst of our most difficult times, if we do things right, the kingdom will grow. Isn't that what it's really about? The kingdom will grow. And it will be just like Paul said, these light afflictions. these light afflictions. Let me tell you, I looked at what he was talking about. I was like, that ain't light. But I'm trying to figure out where he's coming from here. He calls them light afflictions, but I looked at what he was talking about, and I'm like, wow. He went through some stuff. But he said, when you compare it, that's what he meant. When you compare it to what I get, this is light. This is light. This is nothing for what you get. And that's how all of them could do what they did. They were martyred. They were sawn asunder. They were bald and all. They were fed to the lions. They did all this. They crucified them upside down. They pierced them with swords. They pulled their bodies apart. Pulled them apart. And I'm thinking, what kind of people this is? We quit on everything today. We give up on everything. If it gets a little hard, we quit on everything. And they pulled them apart. Give up the body and the blood. Give it up. We ain't giving that up. They defended it with their lives. Put them at the stake and burned them alive. All you got to, we'll put the fire out. Just give up the body and the blood. I ain't giving that up. You see what I'm talking about? What are we giving up? Will we defend it? Well, we say, I'm not giving, I can, everything else, you can take everything, but I'm not giving that up. I'm not giving it up. I hope that you taking this talk to heart, because a lot of people give up a lot of things to defend that. I don't want to walk on it. I don't want to just walk on and say, yeah, whoever wants, come on up. Come on up. Standing in line, got a cup. I'm like, don't let me be the only one ever wondered this. I hope that you wondered it too. Hopefully you go. If not, maybe now we will. But we don't demand anything. We don't say, we don't stand. What do we stand for? There's rules. Do you know there's rules? Listen, I love everybody and I want everybody to come, but there's rules. And don't you stand for things? How many's ever hired somebody to do something for you? You ever hired somebody? They come do something for you and you agreed to pay them? And you know they've done whatever it is? And you look at it and go, okay, you didn't finish. You're reluctant, right? You'd be reluctant to pay them because they didn't finish. Because you had an expectation and they said they would do it, but you're reluctant. But here's us. What are we standing for? You look at somebody and they just say, okay, you can't do that, right? We would say it for other things that are trivial. They don't even matter. It doesn't matter. But we won't say it when it comes to the body and the blood. That's crazy. Do you believe you have, you know how you know you prepare for the Passover? Because if you saw somebody who you know good and well, just based upon the stuff that they got going on in their life, you're going, excuse me, what are you doing? What do you mean? I'm going to take communion. No, you're not taking communion. Why? Well, let's sit down and talk about this. Let me tell you why. Look what you're doing. Have you repented? And you said, well, what if they have? Then they'll tell you. Yeah, I repented. Well, tell me. How was it? Tell me about that, how you felt. You felt, they'll tell you. They'll say, man, I had such a heavy conviction come on me. I'm just beginning to weep. They won't be afraid to tell you. But if they go, I can't believe you're judging me. I'm going to post that. You hit the right, there's the target. There you go. And then all of a sudden, you become a bad person. You're the bad person. Can't believe you would do something like that. You got to be willing to be okay with that. It's okay for me to be the bad guy, right? Let Pastor do it. Just let him do it. But think about it. Are you really, honestly preparing your heart for Passover? Are you really ready? Or are you going to just step on the threshold? Just walk in. Yeah. Whatever. Don't matter. That can't be the posture of the church. We got to stand for something. We really do. This is important. Jesus died for us. And I want to honor him. I want to honor him. And I want to tell you this. If I'm not ready, and I know me, I won't even take it. If you see me eat the Passover, you better know for sure I'm ready. And I would hope to expect the same thing from you. Be honorable. Be willing to admit it. But don't not take it. Don't say, well, I'm not going to take it. You get it right with God. You get it right. You make sure it's right. And you got all the way up to that moment. Man, right at the table, you can repent. Right at the table, you can say, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't ever want to do anything to dishonor you. Anything. And I fully commit my life to you. You can do that at the table. If you mean it in your heart, he's going to accept it. If you're just saying it to be saying it, he won't accept it, and you'll pay the consequences. Nobody will know, but you will know. So how many want to make sure when we receive communion that we're going to make sure we got it together? How many want to help other people understand? Listen, you wouldn't have to do anything. Your job would be done. You wouldn't have to do anything if everybody would have been here tonight. That's it. Right? So I give you, I'm telling you, now we have a responsibility. Because come Tuesday, the table is going to be spread. And we're going to have it cut out for us. What are you going to do? What are we going to do? So I hope that you're ready for Passover. It's coming. I could have covered these slides. I've covered this before with you. It bears being repeated. There's no doubt about it. Tuesday, our main thing to be here is just come and have that meal together. Remember, the Passover meal is the meal. It's the meal. Unleavened bread don't start till the next day. It kicks you into the unleavened bread, which is the feast. So we want you to plan something with your family. Plan something. Eat all week. If you want to get together, it's a good time to get together. I know you're going to look around and say, man, you know, they do this on this. Man, they do this on Friday. Better leave Friday alone. You got a whole week. Don't be caught up because somebody does something on Friday. You got all week. You want to do something? You can. Get together. You want to have an outing? The only thing that we request, because of the scripture, so we follow along, do it with unleavened bread. That's not hard. Right? That's very easy to do. I just don't like flat bread. Don't eat bread. Because in every bunch. It's the truth. I don't like that. You know, it's just amazing. The same thing. I remember this. There you go. Thank you, Lord. Might as well. You know, everybody's going to be shocked when Jesus come back and he breaks the wine out. He ain't using Welch's, I promise you. He don't like Welch's. He ain't never liked Welch's. We use Welch's. You know why? Because you ain't grown enough. I got people going, Oh, but I don't get it. It's absolutely crazy. You laugh now, but I hope you see my face. I'm not kidding. We shouldn't act that way. Because when he takes the wine and you drink it with him in Jerusalem, it will not be Welch's. And whoever come up with that idea, they're wrong. They're absolutely wrong. And they, all day long, I'll show them in the scripture where they're wrong. We've taken what he made holy and we've used it for pleasure rather than honoring him. And she said, are you advocating wine drinking? Yes, I am. I figure I'd just let y'all know that right off the bat. It's the truth. It's silly. But we tried that. And folks don't take anything serious. Everything's a joke. It's just so frustrating. I tell my wife, I said, you know, I don't know what to do. It's so frustrating. You can't hold it and let it be an honorable thing. He said, I won't drink this until. Does anybody get that? He said, I won't drink this until. But when I come get you and we get in the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're going to pour because it's honorable. We've taken what's honorable and we've used it for pleasure. It ought to be an honorable thing. It's the truth. I mean, I saw people scooting around a Shirley Temple last night. Because it was poured in a glass that looked like a wine glass. And it had color. I'm afraid. Do you see how handicapped people are? It's absolutely ridiculous. And we shouldn't act that way. This is serious stuff. We should be able. Listen, this is a tradition. This is not something that, but a tradition. When they have the Seder supper, the glass is full of wine to the brim. And then they dip the finger in it, and it overruns. And it's to let people know. It's to let them know. This is a tough price here. And it's with honor. It's with dignity. Do you understand that? It's not joke. It's not a, hope I don't get drunk. Is that what it's for? Is that what you think? You know why? It's been hijacked. And that's all you think about. We have lost the honor that our Messiah, our Yeshua HaMashiach, listen, you know how many people is going to be shocked when you sit at the table with him and he don't pour Welch's? They're going to go, well, I just want to be there. I want you to explain to Yeshua HaMashiach that, oh, brother, that's not Welch's. And we don't believe that. Are you going to try that on? Listen, it's an honorable thing. So don't buy into this. Yeah. It's such. And so that's why we have to be children in kindergarten. Because we are so handicapped with this stuff. We can't honor it. It can't be sanctified and set apart. So we just got to, let's just play, let's just do the nursery stuff. Let's pour the Welch's so everybody's fine. And I can pour Welch's, you'll guzzle it up and you'll be fine. You'll go home and you're fine. But that's not what he said. You understand? He didn't say that. Paul said it this way. He said, how is it when you come to receive the supper that some of you drink too much and you're drunk? I ain't never seen nobody drunk on Welch's. Because it can be abused. Because it goes past its honor and it's just for self-consumption. But we ought to be grown enough to do it honorably. They did it the whole time they traveled. And so one preacher said it this way. He said, but brother, it weren't fermented. I said, well, if it weren't fermented, what was it? It was Welch's. Serious? You can't be serious. People tell you that. Welch's? Why, they were traveling from Egypt? I'm going to submit to you, Welch's wasn't born yet. But that's how people think. It's absolutely crazy. And the same thing, Jesus comes to the wedding, turns the water into wine, and they say, well, one thing about God, Jesus is so powerful, he made water taste like wine. When he talks about the cup that you'll drink together with him, and he uses the word, do you know it's the exact same word that in Canaan? It's not a different word, same word. And so you have this bad idea that gets fed to people. And then we start buying into it, and that's what we do. And it's just a symbol. It's all it is. It really doesn't matter. You ever thought to Jesus it matters? It ought to be set apart. It ought to be for that use. It ought to be able to be honored, but we don't do that. So if you're wondering why we tried that, and we stopped, it's because you act like children. And I'm saying it in general, so if you say, well, I don't act like children, don't be talking. But your neighbors do. All right? And so that's why. And so I hope that you understand we shouldn't do that. That's not the way. There's no joke. There's no joke. And so when that happens, it's to honor it. And if you're here and you say, well, I don't like it because it burns. Well, that's because you're hooked on Welch's. Really? Next time you take NyQuil, enjoy the burn. Yeah. Yeah. Silly. Don't be silly. Because this is serious. Yes. And we dishonor it. We don't want to dishonor it. So understand that. Now, and it's all about understanding. There's parameters and limits. And that's, if you can't control that, then you got a bigger issue. Way bigger. So think about that. Serious. And so this is important. So I hope that you're prepared and ready for Passover and that you'll honor it. He said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood. And the wine cup represents the blood. The wine cup. And that's important. We don't want to dishonor that. And I know that I can't tell you how many lined up to come at me with this. That's fine. Go and do whatever you want. I have come to a place, especially preparing and getting ready after coming out of Purim and getting ready for this, and just the feedback that I get, people say, well, it's just an unending. Where are you trying to go with this? What are you trying to do? I ain't doing anything. I'm going nowhere. I'm preaching the Word of God. That's what we're doing. I said to someone last night, I said, it's amazing to me how you sit there and hear the Word of God. And yet you come question me about we do it this way. I said, you ever thought maybe your traditions are wrong? I said, you know what's sad? Nobody wants to admit they're wrong about anything. But we have been wrong. It's absolutely no doubt we've been wrong. We got to go back to the things of God. And so I'm asking you, you know what the word says. Don't follow me. You don't follow me. I give you the information. If I'm taking it that you're going to come to Passover because you have a relationship. You have made a commitment to God. You believe in what you believe in. Don't follow me. I'm going to tell you, we're going to continue to do. It'll be prepared. You know. You go and take the Word of God out and you go study it. And you know what? One of the things you got to learn to do? Stay off the internet until you're grown enough to know what's hay and what's briars. Because they got a lot of people eat a lot of briars, and they don't understand that you're supposed to spit that out. And if you have no strength in the Scripture, you'll eat anything. You'll read it. Oh, I didn't. You got to be strong in the Lord. Understand that. I hope that you understand this. And so, until you feel like you know that you could do that, that'll destroy you. I'll tell you one thing. And listen, if you want to check it out, let's go to the Word of God. That's how you check it out. But you can find anybody say anything on the internet. You can find anybody say anything. But then you got to check that out. Don't take, if they say it, then you got to check it out, right? You can't. So what they said this, did you check it out? I guarantee you, start checking it, and you're going to find a pink square. It won't be long. Yeah. Pink square will pop up. Boom, there it is. Oh, here we go. And so one of the things my pastor told me, he said, you got to learn how to eat the hay and spit out the briars. So it's not easy to do that. But every one of you can. There's some things that, so I'm saying, check it out. What I'm telling you, check it out. You check it out. But if you want to find somebody to kind of counter what I said about the wine, you're going to find them. There'll be a whole list of them. Those ones that, oh man, we don't touch that. We don't tolerate that. But they won't understand, they won't study the Scripture. They'll talk about this fresh squeezed juice or something. They'll get into all of this craziness. How many of you know if you got a group of people that's what they've been doing all their life? It's all they've been doing. They're connoisseurs when it comes to wine. And they bring out, he said, fill the water pots with water. Then he said, okay, what we do now? And Jesus said, serve it. And they serve it. And he's a connoisseur, right? And he's going to look at, if it's water, he's going to go, excuse me, this is water. But when he takes the taste, and he goes, wow. Usually, the master of the house serves the best first. But you blew us away. You saved the best for last. So they compared it to the first. See, nobody got a problem with the first. They call that wine. But they call what's in the water pot Welch's. You see my point? It's craziness. We got to quit that kind of stuff. It's nonsense. And we got to move past that and sit down at a table with the Lord. And when he holds the cup up and he says, drink it. And you do it for the right reason. And you know what's behind it. That's what's important. And all sorts of wonderful things happen. How many of you know there's healing and power and anointing when we obey and do what he's called us to do? So I could feel the Holy Spirit winding this thing down. And we're going home. Are we leaving from here? It's done. What you heard tonight, you needed more than anything else we could have did here. I needed it. You needed it. We're going to go home, and we're going to come on Tuesday, and we're going to have Passover. We're going to sit down, and we're going to give the honor to the Lord Jesus. We're going to respect it. You got to have the utmost respect for it. Respect it. And you got to get into that. You know, how many has ever got into the season? That's what Jacob made me. You get into the season. Well, you better get into the season. Get into the appointed time. You get into that. Can you imagine this? The Bible says after they left Egypt from the first Passover, that they kept a Passover in their traveling. Once the tent was put together, the Bible says a cloud came and the people stood at their door. I want you to just guess. Shoes on their feet? Think. Loins girded? Staff in their hand. Every single one of them stood there and they received the Passover again. That's absolutely incredible. Every one of them. So we see signs of it in Scripture where they celebrated that again. What did they do it? Was it just like because they believed it was going to be another firstborn die? No. He said for them to do it as a memorial for that deliverance. Now, before he instituted that in detail, was anybody keeping what would be considered a Passover? In Scripture, we see that Abraham was about to keep a Passover. And he said at this time, the appointed time, he said at this appointed time, the word's the same thing, this Moed, your wife will have a son. So when he comes to bring deliverance to Lot, right, they go to Sodom in the deliverance, what's going on? Where's Lot? Where's Lot? Somebody help me, where's Lot? At the gate, at the threshold. He goes in and takes him in, and he says, I'm going to prepare a meal for you. What does he prepare? Unleavened bread. This is before Egypt, because it's his Moed. Now, he details it in more detail because he's got to bring, because Messiah hadn't come. But how many see there's types of all that. Isaac, he was going to be sacrificed, and he says, I'm going to provide the lamb. Keep your son. I'll provide him. But it was a type. Same thing with Lot in the Revelations. He said, "When in the end, it's going to be like Sodom in Egypt. What happened in Sodom? A Passover. What happened in Egypt? A Passover. And he said, when I come back, it'll be like that. Wow. There'll be two witnesses laying in the street. But then they're going to rise up. All that connects. It's amazing. And here we are. God has given us an exhortation. We receive it. Father, we receive it. We want to do better. We want to please you. Don't be man pleases. We want to please him. But I'm asking you, but make sure you're ready for Passover and come. We want everybody to come. But you got your job's cut out for you. I mean, you know that we have to make sure, hey, you ready for Passover? What do you mean? You see? And you say, well, let me explain it to you. If you're not ready, don't participate. You can't be actively, constantly going contrary to the things that God says and just coming and flop down. Somebody got to say something. I'm asking you to make sure you take your position to make sure that that doesn't happen. So give everybody a chance before that night. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give a little space right before we eat. I'm going to say, okay, make sure everybody here. Because sure as we hear, somebody might scoot in. So I like it. I like to do it. They can be here. But they got to watch. That's what the scripture says. He said the uncircumcised, they can be there, but they can't participate in actually eating the Passover. And that was something that is very important. Should be very important to you and I. And you should defend that with everything that's in you. I can tell you, in the early days of the apostles, they didn't allow it. There had to be a marked difference of a fruit-bearing life that was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ in many different levels before they was even allowed to do that. They wouldn't allow them. Now, they were coming to church. They were coming to church, and people, you still love those people. You love them. They weren't allowed till there was a marked difference. And they saw that. That's important, very important. So I'm praying that you and I see how serious it is. I'm asking you to help me. Help me stand up for Jesus. Tired of him getting pounded and abused and looked over like it doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. He's our Lord and Savior. He gave his life for us. I want to stand up. I always had that. You always want to stand up for the guy that's getting taken. You do. You get that. How many's ever had that rise up in you? You ever did that? You might be watching the news and you see something happen to somebody and you go, boy, just, man, I can't believe they would do. And you felt that? You know, do we have that for the Lord Jesus? Do we really have that rise up where you want to defend him and what he stood for? He stood for truth. He loved the entire world. I think we should. And I hope that, I know maybe you're here and you say, wow, pastor's on a tear tonight. I hope that it didn't come across that way. I'm just telling you, I was on my way. I'm ready. I got them to pull up the slides. They're right there. I was saying, I don't know how I'm getting through 106 slides, but I'm going to skip. I'll skip some because some of it's repetitive because I covered some of it this morning, but was going to just go right through it. I wanted to get to showing you exactly when he entered in on the 10th. When did they take Jesus on the 14th? Everything matches. I wanted to show you that again because I like just going. It's just amazing when I see it. Everything matches a pattern, and there's no pink squares. It all matches. And so I was going to go over all that with you again, but I was on my way up here, and I mean, I was going to play the songs. What we do, right? We come, we practice, we get up to sing. And I went, okay, Lord. And here we are. So I want to tell you, I love you. I thank God for every one of you. But listen to me careful. Listen to me, boys. You're not going to make it because your mama's going to make it. And your grandma and your grandma, you're not going to make it. You got to get it right with God. You understand? You got to be serious with God. You got to commit your lives to the Lord. Just because they're ready, don't mean you're ready for Passover. If you're not serious, if you never made that commitment to the Lord. Because see, our kids come to church a lot, and we assume they got it. There ain't no assuming. Right? Listen to me. You right here, you're this close of being taken into the world, and you won't return. So be ready for Passover, and don't let anybody ever tell you that standing for Jesus is some pansy pants sissy thing. It takes real men and real women to stand up for God. Real. You got to be real. It ain't many. We need some. We need some real men who say, you know what? Y'all do what y'all want. Because let me tell you, it all looks nice. It all looks pretty, and everybody's having fun. But I can tell you, it's a trap. It's a trap. And you're this close falling for the trap. Don't fall for it. You make a commitment to the Lord and watch what he does. You'll succeed in life beyond any dream or any plan that you could plan. You got to be in his plan, his time. And I'm telling you this because I care about you. Be ready for Passover. And you cancel out all that other stuff. Boy, I'd like to. You get rid of all them plans, all them secret things, you get rid of them. And say, I want to follow the Lord because real men stand up for God. Real women say, you know what? I'm going to live for God. You've been in this thing. And that's what happens. You get going in. You know what happens? All of a sudden, we reach an age and we go, wow, well, I got to make my own decision. And this is what people say. Well, they got to make their own decision. Got to live their own life. Don't fall for it. Because somebody else come out of it don't mean you will. And I'm going to tell you. I'm telling you this right now so you know. You won't come out. You won't come out. That's how vicious the lie is going to be in the end time. You'll fall for everything he says. So I'm telling you, you're already in. You're in the safety. Keep yourself in safety. If you did it, it'd be like jumping over and no life ring. Nobody to care because they won't care. Nobody's going to care because the whole world is going in that direction. Let me tell you, there's a they call them millennials. They're falling for these Bernie Sanders guys, a crackpot. And they've fallen for it by the thousands. Everybody wants something. Everybody, listen, you don't win just because you exist. If you didn't win, you shouldn't be rewarded. If you do wrong, there's a consequence. Don't get that in your mind that everybody's a winner. You know who wins? The one who works hard. The one who puts the time in, the effort in, and they committed to it. That's who wins. But we get in a society, and the colleges are being ruined because they're all these millennials. And you know what? They just bought into it, and they want what's free. Well, if you want what's free, you're going to have a lot to get from because they're giving it out like crazy. It's absolutely ridiculous. And that's why they have it all set up now. You know, we don't want anybody to feel bad. We don't want nobody. They lost, but they didn't really lose. That's crazy. And I'm going to tell you, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. And the Lord reminded me, I was walking up here, and even after we had left from talking, I was getting here, and the Lord, he said, these kids can't fall for it. Don't fall for it. That close. That close. And it's over. There ain't no coming back. He said, well, so-and-so did it. My brother, you know, he was out there, and he made it. Look, he did. Look, you want to talk about a success? You're talking about success. Guys who've been there, got in the trenches, and their life was within inches from coming and being lost. And the grace of God pulled them out. But you can't go off of that. You can't, because Satan's a manipulator and a liar, and he'll tell you that same story. Well, they made, your brother made it. Look, he's got beautiful children and a wonderful wife. He made it. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to make it. Because at the end, I'm going to make a right decision. You won't. Now's the time. Right now is the real time. And let me tell you, why these guys did that? At that time, there was no voice. We were doing the same old, were we not? We were just motions. And it was, and we loved the Lord, and we had our moves of the Spirit. And we called it whatever. But listen, this is the real deal here. This is where the rubber meets the road. We're talking about God trying to protect his own, and so he has a service go this way. I didn't write this script. I'm not telling you because I sat down and said, okay, you know, let me do these seven steps. There's no seven steps. I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost, the power of God is letting us know, don't do it. Get ready for Passover. This is the grace of God. That's what you see. You remember those days. It was, if it wouldn't have been for God, you wouldn't have made it. But don't be fooled by the devil to think you got that same chance. And you say, well, shouldn't I get? You should. What do you mean? You see, that's how millennials think. Like you deserve your shot in the world? Serious? Your shot in the gutter, in the muck and mire? You deserve your shot? You've been protected. You've been kept for such a time as this. And God is looking for you to raise up and be the people he called you to be. This is our kids. And it bothers me when I don't see mom and dad's fighting for them. Well, I'm fighting for you. I fight for you night after night after night. I wake up in the night and I say, God, you got to keep them. I know what's happening. The devil's lying to you. And I see them. I see them slowly but surely going away, making bad decisions slowly. And I say, God. And you know, some of you ain't got mom and you ain't got daddy fighting for you. And I beg you, you have to. You have to. We got to quit making excuses. And we got to stand on the body and the blood. He paid a price for it. And we should never do it. You know, we're waiting for this next moment. I've seen all of you. I watched you weep in the altar. I've watched you come almost there and you wept before God. But what happens? You go right back. What about a standard? What about sticking with it? Who says you got to go out in the world? You think you got to go down the path they went down? You know how many night after night after night their lives was in a balance? Could have died at any moment. But God said they're not dying. You ever thought maybe this is examples? You ever thought maybe that God showed his strong arm and said, you're not going to do it? You ever thought that because there was a mama stood up every night and said, God, keep my son, keep my kid. I don't know what to do. I can assure you that happened. I can promise you it happened. Somebody held on to the altar. And they cried with everything that was in them and said, God, please don't let that happen. They cried night after night after night. And God honored that. That's why. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to come up here. I could come up here and preach anytime. I could teach anytime. But I'm committed to you. I'm committed to your life. And if I wouldn't be, I'd have done four songs, I'd have preached, done my slides, I'd have went home and put my feet up and drank some water and said, you know what, let them make their own decision. But I'm here to tell you I'm committed to it. I care about you and I can see it. We don't say anything. Your kid, you can't feed them that they should win all the time.
That's it.
You got to say you're not doing it.
Because
I see what's happening. And it hurts when I see that. And I'm not hurt because of me. I'm hurt because it's his body and it's his blood. And we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't. And we owe it to each other to be honest with each other. I don't know. Listen, I'm to the point, what is it going to take? Sometimes I look at this group of people and I say, God, this is the most hard-headed people I've ever seen in my life. You think it's easy for me to say that? But I'm not going to go behind the wall and say it.
That's it.
I'm telling you because I love you.
Yeah.
And I care about you. But we owe it to each other to say, you know what? We're not going to do that. We ought to be the most on fire. A group of people that are committed to God and say, you know what? There's no quitting us. Because I can tell you, when he went to the cross, he didn't quit. And he could have. A lot of people said, well, he couldn't quit. He could have quit. At any moment, he could have called 10,000 angels in the Father. If he said, if I pray to the Father, he'll send them right now and deliver me from here. But I won't do it. I won't do it. Because I can tell you, there's going to be a Freddie DeMar and a Scooby and a Scott and a Troy and Beerus and all. He's called your name. They're going to be there. And I'm going to the cross. And I'm going to lay my life down for them. I see Jack and Jake. I see Ryan. I know it. And they're going to be there. They're going to need me. So I'm going to the cross. I know I can get out if I want. But I'm drinking this cup. And I believe he took that cup. I hope you seen that last night. Those of you that were there. He took that cup. You know, here we are. We shocked. It's a shame. We shocked when we see something. And I took it straight out of the Bible. I took it right off the pages of the scripture. He took the cup and he drank the cup and he knew every taste he took was his own life. And that's why he said, and he has the right to say it, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. I don't see any room for some gray, pansy pants, weak-minded people who think I could go to church. Nobody could tell me what to do. I don't see no room for that. You either in or you're out. You're for him or against him. You love him or you hate him. There's no in between. None whatsoever. So I pray that you see this and you hear my heart tonight. It don't take everybody. And that's not because he don't offer it. But you're here. You're special to God. I want everybody to hear it. I don't know if I ever get another chance to say it like I said it tonight. I don't know. It's up to the power of God, right? It's up to the Holy Spirit. You ever seen how critical it is to be where you... I don't know if I ever get a chance to say this again. But I've said what God has asked me to say. And I poured my heart out. And I can tell you know what I'm talking about is true about these kids. As sure as I walked up here and I got ready. My mind, I was already preset. I'd already downloaded, talked to them. And I'm going to let's go get started. It's time. Let's go. And the Lord said, no, here's how it's going to be. This is it. And so it's not like you get this list and you kind of clearly see it. You're going to start. You open your mouth. Yield to me. And that's what you do. And then everything else comes out. So I hope you heard my heart and what the Lord wants to warn us about. But grab hold to it. Let's do something about it. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what Ethan needs. You got to be tough on him. You got to tell him when he's a knucklehead, you got to say, don't be a knucklehead. And you're being mean to him because you love him, because he's death close. And before you know it, how do you get that back? You know what these women, what do we need from women? Quit thinking about yourself so much. We need women who will come and take a Kimberly and speak into their life. Mariana, speak into their life and say, you know what? Don't do that. We've been there. Don't give it up. Don't give it up. Shouldn't be me. Should it be me? We need women. The Bible says the older women are to teach the young women. You won't be honest. You got to tell, I gave it up. I know what that feels like. You feel like dirt and trash. I did that. But you know, we don't get no women want to do that because we're not even comfortable with where we are in God. We feel embarrassed. We need men who will stand our children and say, listen, boys, you think you want it. But once you get it, life changes for you. I know, I've been there. I've done that. But we're not comfortable. We don't want to say nothing. We don't want to tell nobody about the first time we took that drug. And we couldn't let it go. We chased it and chased it and chased it to the point we almost lost everything. Chasing the same thing. Never could get it again. Because you can't. It's a hole. You think you got it and it's gone again. You get your hand wrapped around and it disappears. Why are we not saying that? Why are we not saying that? You know, we are more comfortable if we just have everybody together. But what if you just pull them to the side because you know that's what they're thinking. Say, hey, man, you keep that thing in your pants. We don't want to talk like that. It's uncomfortable. You understand? You keep your legs closed. Nobody wants to talk like that because it's uncomfortable. But you ever thought you saved somebody's life? Because you just sat down, had a little talk with them. Hey, what you doing tomorrow? What you doing? Why don't we go somewhere? I'll take you for, we'll go grab a burger or something. Go do something. But you, listen, we're not talking about just getting burgers here. Don't go get burgers if you're not willing to talk to them. They don't need that. They don't need another friend who just do what they like. If you're going to do that, you make sure you talk to them and say, hey, I'm worried here. I'm telling you because I love you. I care about you. What's going on? But we don't mind the chit-chat. We go to the burger. We do the burger and the heart's pounding the whole time we eat. And we drop them off with nothing said. That's absolutely crazy. It's the truth. And we know we got to. You ever had that happen? How many's ever had your heart feel like it's going to pound out your chest because you know you got to share something with them? I'm just asking you, let's be what God wants us to be. And don't back down off. Don't be ashamed. It's not, listen, I said some things tonight. Some of you are going, whoa. We're here. We're family. I love you. I care about you. I'm telling you what I tell my own family. You understand? This is important. And that's something that we have to look at, every one of us. So how many are willing to do that? How many ever thought maybe there's somebody in here, they really need you? They've tried, and maybe they have honestly tried, but they haven't had a breakthrough. You ever thought maybe if you just called up their children and said to them, I'm just checking on you, and I just want to tell you, you're crushing your parents. They might hang up on you. But you did what God asked you to do. I wouldn't quit. But we don't do anything. We don't say anything. We get ready. We go. Sunday's over. We're going to go home. We're going to finish our week out. We rarely go to Bible study. And then we'll show up back over here, sing our songs, and do the same thing. And we do it over and over and over and over again, and we have zero accountability to one another. We need each other. Speak into people's life. Say, hey, man, what's going on? Hey, what's happening? You know it. Let's not just pull it over. I don't want to talk. I didn't want to say anything. And what good is it? We don't want to say anything. You ever thought maybe, so it ain't my business? It is. It is your business. It is very much your business. Pick that phone up when you see somebody. Don't just fall in, everything's okay, let's high five, it's all right. It ain't all right. It's not all right. This is you get some uncomfortable position, you go, wow, this is uncomfortable. You know why it's uncomfortable? You on one path and they on the opposite path. You going with God, the light and darkness come as very uncomfortable. And what do we do? Many times, Maybe not all the time, but many times, most of the time, we do nothing. We kind of wait till it's over. Oh, I feel better now. Once we get down the road, it gets farther and farther away from the issue, we feel good. And we might even think about it again. But it's going to happen. You're going to be confronted with that. What are you going to do? I'm going to ask everybody tonight to do something. I'm going to ask you to pray and say, Father, put somebody on my heart. It could be here in your church. It could be somebody else. Put somebody on my heart. Do you know that in this building right now, there's people who are hurting? There's people that are going through something? And you say, well, it's not none of my business. It is your business. If we'd be in a place we need to be with God, some of us would get on the phone and say, hey, I just want to tell you something. You're blowing it. You say, but they'll hang up on me. You hanging up on them right now by not doing anything. I want to be hung up on. At least I know I'm doing something. I'm reaching out. And that's important. So I'm asking each one of you, would you do that? Would you ask God? Put somebody in my heart. God, I just want to reach out. And let me tell you, you said, well, the Lord didn't put anybody on my heart. I'll know that's a lie. Because don't be putting it on God. But I didn't do anything because God didn't put it on my heart. He's shouting out. Everything I did tonight, he's shouting it out. He said, hey, deal with this. Go ahead and say it. You say it. And I said it, everything he wanted me to say. And it's uncomfortable sometimes. A lot of times it's very uncomfortable because we're just not used to it. But I'm asking you to do that. So don't come tell me, well, I didn't do anything. The Lord didn't put nobody in my heart. Open your mouth and say, Lord, here I am. I'm available. I can assure you, some of you are going to get two or three people. It's going to happen. Because there's a lot of people hurting. A lot of people need somebody to reach out to them and speak into their life. And I'm asking these kids, do the same thing. Don't take no back seat. Get involved. Be present. Get fired up. Get excited about the Lord. Because everybody's craving something to be excited about. Well, he's a lot to be excited about. Let me tell you why. Our kids are struggling because we don't have no excitement. What are we excited about? We get more excited over a football game than we do about going to Bible study. That's the truth. We get fired up. We ain't making a nickel. We think we like running a team or something. Coaching on a sideline. Boy, if I'd be the coach. And then we get all wrapped up in it. And it's okay. You can be, listen, all those things are wonderful. If that's what you like, they're wonderful. But if you get so wrapped up in it, you can't have no distinction between what you should be fired up about and that. There's something wrong with that. So how many want to have a good heart change and be ready for Passover? Well, I'm done. And I appreciate you. Thank God for you. I love you. And so be prepared for Tuesday, for Passover. Each one of you, remember what I said. Pray and ask God to help you. He's going to help you. And he's going to give you somebody to help. And be ready to do it. Speak into their life. Speak into their life and watch God move mightily. Amen. Father, I thank you tonight. You deserve the glory and the praise and the honor. It couldn't have been done without you. I yielded to you. Everything that was said, I couldn't have said it without you. There's no possible way I can think that fast in my own mind. It had to be you. And for that, I give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. I yield to you. I pray, God, that I can be more effective and do what you want me to do. God, I can be more responsible for this wonderful, wonderful glory and anointing, God, that you have put on my life. I need more wisdom, more understanding to do it when you want me to do it. Say it when you want me to say it and be the person you want me to be. I thank you, God, for this church. I thank you for every person here. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that's here, I thank you for them. And I've asked you, God, right now, that by divine anointing and appointment, that you would minister to their lives as we prepare for Passover. And remember what Jesus did. Christ, our Passover lamb, was slain. As we remember that, and we honor that we come before the table and our hearts would be prepared. I pray each one would take the time. Every person in here would do that. As they can come with great excitement, great joy, and expectation for a visitation from you. We thank you for that. I asked you on Tuesday that you would visit us by the power and the glory of your presence as we take part. And just embrace the wonders of this wonderful meal, God, that you want us to partake in. And all week in Unleavened Bread, that we do the same. We honor you and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What a great God. Love you. I thank God for each one of you. And let's remember our service time for on Tuesday. God bless you.